pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
The climax of the story for me, the good news of the Daniel story for me, is when the king comes and he says, "Has your God saved you? What has happened?" And he says, "Oh, yes." He said, "What happened was he sent his messenger. He sent his representative. God came in to the lion's den with me. And here's what happened." He said, "I was found blameless." And then the mouths of the lion was shut.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series called Daniel, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
That's one fruit, or the other fruit has happened to so many millions and millions of people in our culture who have looked at our moralistic teachings and have said, "I can't be that good. I don't want to try to be that good. I'll come up with my own version of right and wrong." And they've left the church in droves and live their own rebellious lifestyle. What I'm saying is that moralistic reading of the Bible will lead you to religion, or it will lead you to rebellion. And neither one of those will lead you into life. This story is part of the great story. And this story is absolutely awesome in pointing us to the gospel. So I would take a text like this, and after just enjoying the flow of a great plot that has God as the rescuer, I first often would look and say, where are the recurring themes or words that show up? Well, the word that recurs, of course, over and over in here is the very name of Daniel. And Daniel means God is my judge. Dan, judge, Dani, E means my, and El is short for Elohim. God is my judge. The very name Daniel, when you hear it, it means that there is a judge. And he is a righteous judge, and he is the judge over all. And that judge is my God. My God is my judge. It is to announce that the one who made me, and the one who loves me, and the one who showed me all this favor, he is my judge. It is to announce that ultimately Nebuchadnezzar is not my judge, Belshazzar is not my judge, and Darius is not my judge. It is that God is my judge. And it is to announce that there is a judge. That this means that there is a judge, there must therefore be justice. That there is justice that the world is founded on. Now, the spirit of the age doesn't like the idea of saying that there is justice to the world and that the world is founded on good and evil and right and wrong. It's not a popular mentality, but it is in general revelation, obvious to all thinking people, that there is that which is good and there is that which is bad. It is a good thing to love people and help people. It is a bad thing to harm children and old people. It is a good thing to care for people. It is a bad thing to hate people. We all know this. And here is the bottom line to this. If we have a world of which there is no judge, then that means there is no justice. And if we live in a world that has absolutely no justice, meaning that good is never rewarded and evil is never punished, then what is the purpose of this world? And of what basis are we living? The very name Daniel, Daniel, my God, My judge is my God, and he is the judge over all things. You'll never understand the beauty and the majesty of the gospel until you come to this revelation that the world is established according to the principles of justice, that there is a God over all, and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are all in the same predicament without some saving mercy from the Lord. We are all separated from God forever. The wages of sin is death. What is rightly to be executed against every sinner is ultimate separation from God. This is the reality of the predicament of humanity. And you can start understanding the story just in Daniel's name. God is my judge. There's a predicament then that emerges in the plot. Did you notice this? The plot builds on the predicament of the law. Over and over it says, the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be revoked. The law stands. You can't just make a law and then say, we'll ignore it for some people, or else it's not really a law. And yet the predicament is that Darius loves Daniel. He doesn't want Daniel to perish. He doesn't want the punishment that the lawbreaker should receive. He doesn't want it to be executed against Daniel. And we don't want it to be executed against Daniel. But there's a dilemma. It's raised and it's heightened in the drama. The law says you must be punished, but the king's heart says, I don't want him to be punished. And so there's a conflict and a crisis that emerges. What will the king do? Will the king just say, I'll just overturn the law? The law no longer matters. And if he does that, then he's going to put at risk all of the law and all the sense of justice that the Medes and Persians have built their empire on. But if he keeps the law, then Daniel, his favored counselor, will die. This man, this 80-year-old man who served so well for all these years and never harmed anybody, he will die. What will he do? And we tend to think that it's got to be either you keep the law and he dies, or you overturn the law, he lives, and yet the place of justice is diminished. In other words, how could there possibly be both justice and mercy? And if you start thinking that way about a story like this, then everything on the inside of me starts getting excited, because now you're coming up to the edge of the gospel. Because this is our story. God loves us. He is your creator. And yet he had said to the very first human beings, you could eat of all the fruit of any of these trees. Just don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For if you do, then death will come. And they ate of it. And everyone has been born in Adam and Eve. And God has, if there could be such a thing, a dilemma wherein he wants more than anything else to demonstrate his love and his mercy. And yet, because he is no liar and his word will never fall to the ground empty, he cannot violate his own word. He's got his word, which says that sin must be punished, and his heart that says, I don't want the sinner to be punished. And every form of religion that has ever been crafted by man has made an attempt to solve it from our side. Here's what we need to do so that God will bless us. But our great story, just like the story of Daniel, is not a story about any wisdom, craft, skill, or righteousness of our own. But instead, it is a story of a God of so much genius that he found a way to be both just and merciful. He found a different way, not overturning the law and yet not executing the sinner. He found what the writer of Hebrews says, a new and living way. It's why Jesus came. Did you see Jesus in the story? Oh, what a good Palm Sunday text. Right there in the middle of Daniel, 6th century B.C. Wow. The satraps conspired against Daniel. And so it was that the chief priests and elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, according to Matthew 26, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series. It's shocking how quickly American values have changed. Suddenly, most people don't go to church or have a biblical worldview. Everything has changed so much that maybe you feel like a foreigner in your own culture. How is a Christian supposed to live in a post-Christian world? Do we fight against it? Do we just shine our light in the midst of it? Do we pull away from it? These are the same questions that faced a young exile named Daniel in Babylon 600 years before Christ. Though he was an alien, God showed the young man favor. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's 8 messages on Daniel, a favored foreigner, in an attractive CD album on a USB thumb drive or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. You may feel like a stranger in this world, but as God showed favor to Daniel in his foreign land, God's grace is upon you today. Your gift today will not only help you walk in the grace of God during these troubling times, it will also help someone else. This ministry is only possible through prayerful support of listeners like you. When you give today, we'll send you today's special offer. We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you. Call 877-544-4860 or come visit PastorAlan.org. Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Daniel's conspirators could find no corruption in Daniel, and Mark 14 reports the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. And as Daniel was convicted by trickery, so was Jesus. Matthew 26, the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He's blasphemed. Why do we still need witness?" Daniel was found guilty of transgressing the law of the Medes and Persians. According to John 19, Jesus was found guilty of transgressing the law of the Jews. It says, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he's claimed to be the Son of God." Darius unsuccessfully tried to save Daniel. Just like Matthew 27 says, Pilate unsuccessfully tried to save Jesus. Daniel trusted in his God, and Jesus trusted in his Father. And Daniel descended into the pit, a grave-like den, and Jesus' body was laid in a tomb. Daniel's grave was covered with a stone, and Jesus' tomb was made secure. They took moist clay around Daniel's den, around that stone, and they put the moist clay, and while it was still soft, the king put his signet ring into it, along with all the lords. So then when it hardened, there was the symbol of the king's authority. It was to say that if anyone breaks this seal by moving this stone, then you are under the penalty of the king's authority, for you'd be breaking the king's seal. It was saying no one will be authorized to move this stone but the king. And there's a big deal made of it in the New Testament that Jesus' tomb, Matthew 27, was made secure by sealing the stone. No one would be authorized or allowed to move that stone. The king, he rose in his angst and in his haste at the break of dawn to see what was going on in Daniel's tomb. And Mark 16 tells us that very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb where the angel told them that Jesus had been raised, just like he said. Daniel prospered after God had saved him, and Jesus prospered after being raised. And Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." And then the stories begin to diverge. Though similar, now you see that Daniel was but a shadow. For Daniel claimed that he was blameless, but we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet Jesus was, according to Hebrews 4, the sinless Son of God. Daniel faced the possibility of dying while Jesus actually died. And Jesus rose from the grave. Unlike Daniel, who would one day die, Jesus would never die again. And God prospered Daniel and put him in a highly exalted position in the government. But Philippians 2 tells us that God highly exalted Christ and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what this story is about. When Jesus was talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and their eyes were open, he began to show them all the scriptures concerning himself. I bet you he took this story. I bet you this was one of them. Let me tell you guys what Daniel was really all about. It's about a new, a living way, a third way that nobody had dreamt of. What's interesting is that Psalm 22, the text that says prophetically, my God, why have you forsaken me? And describes this great anguish of an anointed one who suffers. That Jesus is so identified with Psalm 22 that it is what he quotes as he cries out in his anguish on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That psalm, Psalm 22, also contains these words: many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. Because what was happening at the cross was that this time, not by any pagan ruler's decision, but by his own set purpose, his own unflinching resolve that this was his mission, the Son of God hung on the cross and subjected himself to all the roarings of the lion, that all of the enemy's taunts and all of the mockery and all of the judgment, it all was coming to bear upon the Son of God. He faced the lion. And as the lion roared, God allowed justice to be executed. Sin was punished. Sin was punished severely. The sinless Son of God taking upon himself the sin of the world. And as the lion roared at Golgotha, roared as if in great triumph, and every demon of hell had their play day on the Son of God, while all that was happening and Jesus was ingesting and becoming our sin and taking upon himself the righteous judgment of God, while that was happening, the way was being opened up. And the earth was shaking, and the veil that separated the Holy of Holies was rent asunder, and a new and a living way was burst forth. And when Jesus came out of the grave, burst forth by the authority of the King himself,
who rolled away the stone. He came to live, behold, forevermore, so that whoever would believe in him and receive him by childlike faith, simply believing that he has paid the price, that God is still just, but that the punishment landed upon Jesus so that we might be found blameless in his sight. Then the truth of 1 John comes to pass, that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He's faithful because his steadfast love endures forevermore, and he's just because the sin has been paid for, and it would be unjust to make two people pay for the same sin. Jesus has paid for your sin. Oh, people of God, you have been therefore found blameless in his sight. So the climax of the story for me, the good news of the Daniel story for me, is when the king comes and he says, has your God saved you? What has happened? And he says, oh, yes. He said, what happened was he sent his messenger. He sent his representative. God came in to the lion's den with me. And here's what happened. He said, I was found blameless. And then the mouths of the lion was shut.
The point of this is that, you see, you'll never overcome your sin by moralism and by simply trying harder to live under a system of law. But when you discover yourself through Jesus Christ's shed blood and through his righteousness to be found blameless in him, then when the lion comes and says, look at you with all your sin and all your problems, how messed up you are. Look at the people you've hurt. Look at the folly. Look at your addictions. Look at how do you think that you're going to be blessed? When you hear that voice and you live under the law, you go, yeah, I'll try harder next time. Or else you say, yeah, I might as well give up, not try at all. But if you come into the new and the living way, the way of Jesus, then you turn to the roar of the lion and you can say, shut your mouth. You're trying to convict me, but I have something to say to you. Daniel, God is my judge, and in Jesus Christ, he has already announced that I am not guilty. And that is the gospel. Amen?
Alan Wright. And today's teaching, shutting the mouth of the roaring lion.
It's shocking how quickly American values have changed. Suddenly, most people don't go to church or have a biblical worldview. Everything has changed so much that maybe you feel like a foreigner in your own culture. How is a Christian supposed to live in a post-Christian world? Do we fight against it? Do we just shine our light in the midst of it? Do we pull away from it? These are the same questions that faced a young exile named Daniel in Babylon 600 years before Christ. Though he was an alien, God showed the young man favor. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's 8 messages on Daniel, a favored foreigner, in an attractive CD album on a USB thumb drive or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. You may feel like a stranger in this world, but as God showed favor to Daniel in his foreign land, God's grace is upon you today. Your gift today will not only help you walk in the grace of God during these troubling times, it will also help someone else. This ministry is only possible through prayerful support of listeners like you. When you give today, we'll send you today's special offer.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call 877-544-4860. Or come visit PastorAlan.org.
Well, we've made it through the series on Daniel, and we finally come to the story about the lion, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, it's just it's the most famous Daniel story, I guess. And what a vibrant picture, though, of our enemy, the lion who seeks to devour. And a powerful thought that there is a way that through the gospel's power, we can shut up some of the constant accusations that are bombarding us from the enemy all the time. So this is powerful fodder for the spiritual battle, is to know who you are in Christ, know what's been done for you, and to lay claim to it. There is no condemnation left for anyone who's in Christ. Jesus has already, as our advocate, stood in our place. And when you know this and you meditate, this becomes strong stuff in the spiritual battle.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.